BreakDownTheWalls.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia. We're going to talk about social networking, federal government, federal IT professionals, many, many topics to discuss. I want to start off with the snowstorm of all things. About 3 or 4 months ago, Jimmy was supposed to be in the studio, got caught in the snowstorm, wound up having dinner with a strange character by the name of...
Vivek Kundra.
Well, let's start in medias res here, right in the middle of the story. Tell us about your dinner in the snowstorm with Vivek.
Yeah, I had come to town for various things and had scheduled a dinner with Vivek, and I thought we were going to have to cancel it, but it turns out he was very close to where I was, so we were able to meet, and it was a very interesting conversation about the same kinds of topics we're going to talk about today. Social media, social networking, the whole IT infrastructure, the information infrastructure of the federal government and things like that. So I was pretty pleased with what he's working on.
Yeah. You know, I think if you work for a large organization, whether it's government, whether it's a commercial organization, every organization is looking at social media and trying to make their situation, their circumstance more effective, more productive. And I think that's what social networking and Wikipedia is all about. Maybe our listeners don't know much about your background. Give us maybe a nutshell of your background and how you wound up with this organization.
Well, I guess I grew up in Alabama, which surprises people sometimes. Grew up in Alabama and ended up going to university in Alabama and also at Indiana University. Studied finance, went into the markets for a while. I was living in Chicago as a futures and options trader. Then got moved into the internet and ran a small search engine company, moved into the encyclopedia space, and that's where I've been basically ever since.
It was quite a humble recounting there. There was more to it than that, but that would be like Ben Franklin.
There was a lot of typing in the middle.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Ben Franklin, well, he moved to France and came back. There's many. Well, you can go. In fact, you can go to Wikipedia and find out more of his background. But essentially, he came up with the concept of Wiki. Actually, another person came up with the whole thing with wikis, and he kind of used it in different ways. In the federal government,
So actually, I didn't come up with the idea of the wiki. That was actually a guy named Ward Cunningham, who's a great programmer.
Agile guy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Agile Foundation.
A brilliant guy, and he actually started the first wiki back in 1995. And so I'll definitely take credit for popularizing the concept and sort of making it, you know, mass market. But it's interesting that wikis were online for several years before we got started.
Yeah, I work in the world of software development. Everyone knows him for his Agile methodology and the Agile Manifesto, but also the wiki. You know, and by the way...
as a footnote to all of his other amazing accomplishments, he also invented the wiki.
Well, in the last few years, we have a new president here with a new agenda. And in fact, the office, the OMB, came up with some directions to move into the cloud and to do a lot of changing in just the way we handle the situation here. What is your opinion here of Obama, and how has he responded to some of these changes in social networking? And I think you even wrote some things ahead of time, and maybe that's the conversation you and Vivek had of what some of your thoughts were in the government, how it's changed, and what take the temperature here after, what, year and a half?
Well, I'm reasonably pleased. Of course, I have to qualify this by saying I'm not at all an expert on large enterprise IT infrastructure. So there's obviously a lot that I'm not really qualified to comment on. What I had written about, co-authored an editorial with Andrea Wickerly about what we felt that the new administration should do. And when I met with Vivek, he was kind enough to have printed out my thing, or he actually had it on his iPhone, and wanted to go through and see if I thought he was doing the things I thought he should. And some of the things that, I had put forward, were, you know, things about data openness. The federal government has a huge amount of data that's locked away in various legacy systems. There's nothing particularly secret about it, but it's important information. And what I would encourage, and still encouraging, is as much as possible, let's just get that stuff out there for people to do stuff with it. And so one of the things that Vivek spearheaded was the data.gov initiative, where they do have quite a bit of stuff up already, and there's a lot more to come. So I thought that was pretty good. Another idea I had that hasn't really come to fruition is the idea of a very simple single sign-on across all federal government properties for consumers. You know, if you go to Google and you're checking your Google Calendar and your Google Mail and your Google News Alerts and all that stuff, you just expect you're going to be able to log in with your one username and password. Well, there's all kinds of services that the government provides, places we need to interact with the government, Social Security, healthcare, you know, your taxes and things like that. To me, it's just a simple thing that you should be able to use the same login and password to make a reservation for a campsite in a national park that you do to log in to check on your taxes and see what the situation is. We're not there yet. And of course, the obstacles to doing that are that traditional obstacles in any large enterprise, and there's not many enterprises that are any larger than the U.S. federal government. It's just a big ship to turn. But I think there's progress being made.
I read an interview. We talked about ruthlessly modernizing the federal government technology. That's a tough word, but that was the word. I think
it is. And
you got to be ruthless here, Vivek.
I think there is a certain difficulty inside any large enterprise, but particularly government has a tradition of being slow moving, rigid. There's a lot of institutional inertia. And I really think you got to get in there and sort of kick butt. And, you know, I mean, I think the idea of the twin positions of CIO and CTO of the federal government was a really brilliant strategy to basically sort of have somebody own the job of sorting all this out across all the different agencies, across all levels of government. Simply because, you know, when you're siloed into all the different departments, you know, it's really hard to get coordinated. And so I was pleased to see that. But of course, it's I don't envy the job. It's somebody asked me when I wrote the editorial, was I angling for the job? And I said, no, please, no. Sounds like a nightmare.
It'd be a difficult one to. Another part of the interview, you talked about releasing early and often all kinds of software releases. This is what Ward Cunningham endorses too, is taking and failing fast, fail early, and then correct and move on. And I think this is a concept of rather than being rigid in a silo, but being more loose and flexible in order to be more productive. It sometimes is a difficult concept to convey to maybe older strategic type thinking.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that this is one of the fundamental transitions that we're experiencing across all levels of society is, you know, moving from a hierarchical top-down kind of approach to doing things in large organizations to moving to more of a social networked, freeform kind of organizational structure. Which you need to do because these days, you know, productivity does not depend on people, you know, putting bolts into car doors. That kind of work, of course, is still necessary and important, but the fundamental value creation is through knowledge work, and knowledge work is not conducive to command and control. You never know when a good idea is going to come from anybody, and you need to be able to adapt and sort of move with that.
Well, a good idea right now for us to take a break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Feldman's Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, talking about social networking, federal government, federal IT professionals, and collaborating. And I think the Obama administration is pushing people towards this whole concept of collaboration. I don't know if they're pushing them towards a single government-wide wiki. I mean, that seems it's a huge concept there.
Yeah, it's something that I had recommended, and I think it's an interesting concept that could be very valuable. in across all kinds of information services that are being provided that are now being provided through fairly rigid content management system mechanisms. But it's a big kind of deal, and wikis are not trivial to implement. You know, one of the things that I've seen at Wikia, which is my for-profit company, where we're launching new wikis all the time, is that you can't just throw up a wiki and expect magic to happen. You really do have to have a vision for what you're trying to accomplish. You need to be able to communicate that vision to the people who show up to participate. You know, it's non-trivial, so I can respect that that's going to be a bit of a bigger issue to work out.
In 2 weeks, we're going to have a gentleman named Richard Boley from the State Department, and he came up with this thing called Diplopedia. There's another fellow of the CIA who I'm trying to get in the show who came up with Intellipedia. And they take this concept and they go, hey, not a bad concept. How can I apply it here in a secure fashion? And I think that I think that's what the challenge in many agencies, maybe the folks that are listening, is not maybe not a government-wide wiki, but how can they take this and apply it to the Department of Interior or to FEMA or to NASA? NASA's got that's all interesting things up there. But do you know Richard Boley's work at Diplopedia? Have you seen that?
I don't know Diplopedia. I do know about Intellipedia. And, but in both of those cases, I think it's a fantastic opportunity, fantastic tool, because you're facing the same kind of problem that really almost any large organization faces. You've got lots of people with lots of information, and you need a really lightweight way to share it and to correct it. You know, if you imagine somebody, Diplopedia, somebody writes a report and puts it up on a content management system and it has an error in it. Well, how do you get that error fixed? Well, you have to email them and ask them, and they have to go and do something and this, that, and the other. As opposed to if it's put up in a wiki fashion and everybody understands, well, this is the draft, and then anybody can work to improve it. You know, change happens much more quickly, and you can really get a lot of good people together to work and get things done. You know, in the intelligence community, a lot of people there are still quite pained by some of the intelligence failures around Iraq. And, you know, they're really looking at, well, what caused that to happen? I think a lot of people who are highly politicized want to sort of say, well, it was all political. But I don't think it's so much that. I think it was really much more fundamental organizational errors that led to things. And, of course, people had political motives to do things with those errors. But at the same time, I think, you know, that just the information was not communicated to the right people at the right time, and they just had systems that broke down.
You know, I fall into the trap of using acronyms and abbreviations all the time. And when you said content management system, I wrote down CMS, because everyone calls CMS. But actually, content, it hit me, the word content. Well, that's information that's on there. Well, that's the content, isn't it? Well, the content can be, you know, the year that a symphony was written. Content can be something about an IED in Iraq. Content can be many different things. You don't necessarily have to go through some kind of a filter of a web developer or some kind of a project management workflow to change the content management system. One change has been in Wikipedia just in the last couple of weeks. The page there looks a little different, doesn't it? Has that been a response to requests, or is this just kind of an evolution of the page? Or
well, we've had some we got a grant from the Stanton Foundation for a usability initiative, and we really are we've converted that working group into a permanent working group. As well we should. I mean, we're a major internet property. We definitely need people focused on usability. And so the recent update was a direct outgrowth of their work, where they did a lot of things. You know, you would be surprised how when I was launching Wikipedia and working on it in the early days, how much it was completely seat of the pants. I mean, really, we just made things up as we went along, and we had no idea what we were doing. Now we're starting to do much more sophisticated things like focus groups. So, you know, the usability group, they went and they did focus group testing. They sat people down in front of Wikipedia who had never used it before and said, you know, edit an article or upload an image. And then they, you know, they filmed them and they saw the ways that they failed, and they looked at and analyzed what was going wrong, where were people getting confused, and they redesigned the website to deal with that actual evidence, which we're really happy about. The changes have been well received. Overall, there were a few glitches. I saw some complaining about some glitches with mobile and a few things like that. But that's always the nature of any big change.
We could stand in the corner and give out $10 bills, and there'd be complaints. Well, how come these aren't 20s?
Exactly.
I mean, there'd be complaints no matter what.
Exactly.
I mean,
why are you giving me the old $10
bills?
Yeah, why
about
the
new one?
Ones.
I mean, human beings just are the strangest people. You know, some of the things that I've seen happen, just incredible. This is a new type of a search. The search is on the upper right-hand side, which it – it's more similar to other organizations, I guess. You know, it's just
Seems exactly. Although, I mean, I think we have to concede there have been some serious glitches. I mean, we used to have two buttons. One was go and one was search, and go would take you directly to the article if we had it. And search would do a full text search. We changed that to be just one box, but now it was pointed out to me that you can't do a full text search if we have an article of the same name without going to a special page. It's counterintuitive to a lot of people, and so we're looking at those things. Actually, I hope they're looking at it very quickly because I find it quite annoying. But this is the nature of change as we change things around. And again, it's that release early, release often philosophy.
Well, I was going to say, Ward Cunningham was right.
You got to throw it up there, and you find out some things that you did didn't make sense. And yeah, if you wait for a year before you fix something that you broke, bad idea. But if you are willing to sort of break things a little bit and then move forward, I think it works out okay.
For the benefit of our listeners, maybe you can break down these three different organizations you're affiliated with: Wikipedia, Wikia, and the Wikimedia Foundation. Are these all related somehow?
Well, so here's the way it works. Wikipedia is the website, the famous encyclopedia that everybody knows. The Wikimedia Foundation is the charity, the nonprofit organization that owns and operates Wikipedia. So the Wikimedia Foundation is a nonprofit. I'm chair emeritus of the board. You know, that whole organization is based in San Francisco and exists through donations from the general public. Completely separate from that is Wikia, which is a for-profit company which has advertising-supported wiki communities. We're driving into all kinds of entertainment, political activism, gaming, any kind of different kind of site, things that don't belong in the encyclopedia, basically.
Like Wookiees.
Wookiees. We have Wikipedia, which is the most detailed encyclopedia of Star Wars and probably one of the best named wikis in the history of the world,
yeah,
Wikipedia.
I gotta like it a whole lot. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, talking about social networking, media, the federal government, all kinds of different concepts here. In preparing for this interview, I watched the interview with Brian Lamb from C-SPAN, and he had a great quote, and I wrote this quote down. And this is what you said. I think he's asking you about social media and Wikipedia, and you said that if you are not friendly, you'll have a hard time on Wikipedia because it's a social process. And I think this is what people are learning. Rather than walking down the street and getting along with people at a bus stop, all of a sudden you have to get along with people maybe in an electronic environment.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the early days of the Internet got a real reputation as a place full of angry, hostile, anonymous people yelling at each other. And yeah, there's still some of that going on the Internet for sure. At the same time, as we've begun to evolve the software and the tools that we have available, we're starting to see a greater emphasis on civility and friendliness online, and the software tools are there now to support it. Things like if you have an unmoderated message board, it's not surprising that pretty soon somebody who's really obnoxious comes along and starts insulting and being mean to people. And then all the good people kind of quietly decide it's not for them and start to walk away, and you end up with the most annoying people yelling at each other. And now we're developing things like at Facebook, people are generally very well behaved on Facebook simply because, first of all, people are using their real names. I think that's important. And it's not the most important thing, but it's a factor. And then second of all, if anybody's rude or obnoxious, you just block them or remove them from your friends list. And so your environment, you can control your environment. People really like that. I mean, it's the same thing in our social lives. We don't expect to, if you have a party at your house and somebody comes in and they start being insulting and obnoxious, maybe the host asks them to leave, but in any event, they don't get invited back.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah.
And so I think it's great that we're developing software tools that allow people to say, hey, look, we're trying to get something done here. Really, if you don't agree or you don't want to cooperate, fine, go somewhere else. This is what we're doing here. And I think once people establish that idea as opposed to the older idea of everybody has to have an equal voice, I think it's enabled a lot of interesting, productive things to start happening.
We touched on collaboration earlier, and I think our society is moving more, maybe away from manufacturing into more of an intellectual type of a service-based economy. And I think that's what's happening here is taking a concept of the Internet and try to figure out how to use it to be more productive, how to use it in the federal government to make it more productive with generating wikis, with generating responses from citizens. I think this is one concept I think that Obama encouraged. I think this is maybe on your checklist for Vivek. Was that one of the checklists, involve more citizens?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is important to involve more citizens, but I think it's a tricky thing to do. I mean, one of the things that we have seen from the federal government long before Obama would be sort of places that citizens could go to comment on something. And you end up getting 10,000 comments, which no one could possibly read. And it's not really a practical means of citizen engagement. I mean, it's great. You can go fill out a form on our website. But what does it really mean? As compared to if we think about, say, Wikipedia as, a group of people getting together to try to accomplish something, it's much more productive. And so I think that there's still a long way to go in thinking about how do we get citizens more engaged in helping to find solutions and helping to participate in government in a more active way than simply sort of posting comments on a bulletin board.
Decentralized way to look at information, local information. These are large concepts, I think, that you had early in your life in your academic career. And I guess this is being applied in some ways to the federal government with taking this concept of Wikipedia and applying it in the State Department, applying it to the CIA. And what it's taking a larger concept and working it into your own environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've got millions of people in the federal government doing all kinds of different things. Some of it quite inefficient, some of it very efficient. And some of the inefficient parts, we tend to sort of get angry about them or assume people are being lazy, but it's generally not that. It's generally the whole something's gone wrong structurally, you know. They're trying to accomplish a task that's impossible or doesn't make any sense. And so I do think that IT can really help with those things, to really kind of identify them and allow more flexibility in how we get things done. I was just talking to somebody in the UK about these issues, and they're really looking at e-government initiatives there. And I think they're not quite as far along as we are, but in some areas they're probably ahead of us, but in some areas they're not. But, talking about things like, you get a parking ticket and you have to go and stand in line, and there's three forms of paper, and one goes here and one goes there and so on. And it's all nonsense. The physical way that it gets done is completely inefficient. And if it were a business doing it that way, they would have 10 years ago said, this is really stupid. We're going to put a website up where you can go and pay your bill, and it's going to automatically be transmitted into the database. And there's none of this sort of shipping papers around and entering it into a computer three different times. And there's a lot of things like that still need doing, especially in the budget crunch that we're all in.
Wikipedia has been around almost 10 years now, 3.3 million articles in English. What's going to happen in 10 years? I mean, can you get at your crystal ball and say, hey, in 4 or 5 years this is going to happen? Tell me what you think.
Well, I think the fundamentals are not going to change. I don't think in 10 years we're going to look at Wikipedia and see YouTube. We're not going to turn into a video site. We're not going to turn into a Facebook social network. We're going to be pretty much the same, an encyclopedia where you go and get information. Obviously, there will be changes to the software. Hopefully, we'll make it a lot easier to use, have a more of a WYSIWYG interface. What you see is what you get, the editing interface. But I think the biggest change is going to be in the global nature of Wikipedia. It used to be that around 1/3 of the total work was in English, and now it's less than 20%. And all the other languages are growing faster than English, by a fairly significant margin. And we're starting to see really fast growth in some parts of India. We're finally getting some things launched in Africa. Chinese Wikipedia is growing. All kinds of things like this are happening. And I think that global nature of the project is just going to become more and more prominent as people all around the world are really embracing the concept.
Well, I can't wait. I hope I'm around in 10 years to find what happens. And a number of articles and number of languages in India is just fascinating. Happy Indian to be here. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
On April 14th, the Army reached 1 million hours of unmanned aircraft flights. 13 aircraft were deployed in support of operations at the beginning of the Iraq War in 2003. Today, 333 different types of unmanned aerial systems are deployed, with more than 1,000 aircraft flying in Iraq and Afghanistan. It took 13 years to fly the first 100,000 hours. In the past 2 years, 500,000 hours have been flown. I'm J.G. Green.
Can you imagine buying a television or vehicle today that you'll still be using in 40 years? Probably not. When the military purchase an airplane, they know it has to last at least that long or longer, and the parts for the airplane may already be obsolete. That's where Airink comes in. Airink helps the DoD plan ahead for parts obsolescence. This planning saves money and lessens the risk of counterfeit parts being used if the original supplier no longer exists. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs.